From America's number one travel radio show, this is your RM World Travel Minutes. I'm Mary Carey. Thanks for joining me today. Hello from Frisco, Texas, where Robert and I have spent the week in our latest Let's Go America tour. The new Omni PGA Resort has been our home this week, and if you enjoy golf or you want to learn more about the sport, this is the place to do it. Two championship courses, simulators, hitting bays, and the dance floor. Not what you think, but you need to tune into the show this Saturday to find out exactly what it is. And Frisco is one of the fastest growing cities in the country, so it's a great time to come check it out and see why. We've had quite the week visiting the Bell Helicopter Training Academy, the American Rail Museum, the Frisco Heritage Center, and hanging with the pitmasters here at the Omni PGA Resort for a taste of their brisket and their house-made barbecue sauce. We're also going to the Dallas Cowboys practice facility for a behind-the-scenes tour. Join us for the full radio broadcast starting at 10 a.m. Eastern this Saturday to hear all about Frisco and all our experiences right here on this station, or you can also listen via the live stream at rmworldtravel.com. Happy travels, everyone.
Talk Radio 930 WTAD as we're coming up on 918. Time now for the Mary Griffith Show for you on this Thursday, June 27th. Sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, with premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches. Can be delivered to you, or stop by the convenience store nearest you and pick it up for a great coffee experience. And of course, it is the last Thursday of the month, and that means we talk things over with Quincy Mayor Mike Trope, who is in studio. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Good, 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 good. Last night, I don't know if you heard anything about it, what happened, kind of an informational meeting for the small rental rehab program was held. How was that? How was the attendance?
That was good. We had... about 10 people attended that meeting, learned, and it's interesting. You know, this is the fourth year that we've run that program, and each meeting, you know, when we're telling people how it worked, what do you have to do to apply, and the terms and the structure, this is really neat. How long have you been doing it? And they're like, wow, this is the first they heard of it. So, you know, we're getting the word out. I think there's some good potential projects. People will have to complete the application. You can do that by going to the Planning and Development Department. You can look at the information is also on the city website. And if there's any questions, we can call the people at Planning and Development. They'll be happy to help.
Now, you mentioned the fourth year. So is this the last year of that $250,000 funding?
You know, we approved $1 million 4 years ago with $250,000 per year for the 4 years. The program has been quite successful. And, yes, I would like to see us extend that, put some more money in. That will be something we will do when we get into the budget talks for next fiscal year.
Okay, so... talks will probably start on that around late February, early March, and then we'll all find out in late March, and then we go from there.
So, yes, sir.
All right, then. So that's very, very good. And, of course, the money will be announced sometime this fall then, right?
Correct.
Okay, so around September. The city has been, the city council meetings have been kind of on like a, I guess you would call it a magical mystery tour of some of the city's facilities because of the renovation of City Hall. How is that renovation going so far?
You know, it is. The contractor needed to get the asbestos removal people in. They had a 2-week window to come in and do that before they have all these contracts with various schools that they have to be out before the school year starts. Mm-hmm. So the contractor said, hey, we'd like to come in, remove the asbestos. They did. Unfortunately, it left the chamber console room really not usable. They've now leveled the floor, and we're waiting for carpet and painting of the walls. Then we can, you know, move the other equipment in, and we can return our city council meetings and other meetings during the week back into that facility.
So estimated time, you think, maybe in August?
Yeah, I would hope. I hope we could do it by August.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other side is it gives the time. You know, we went to the library. We're going again Monday night. We'll be back at the library. We've gone to the airport. We've gone to Central Services. And some of our aldermen haven't been to the airport, haven't been to some of these. So it gives a good excuse, if you will. One, to see the construction that's ongoing at the airport, and then to view the facility, et cetera. So we've got a couple others. I don't know. There's not a good meeting space in the water treatment facility.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty loud in there. So I don't think we're going to be able to have a meeting down there. Potentially, we could have a meeting at the wastewater treatment plant. But we've got to make sure everything's, you know, ready and workable for the meetings that we have.
But I know you would like to have the alderman go to those, both of those locations, because they're both the sites of major expenditures because of the updates that are needed there.
Well, it is, and those are critical services that the city provides, you know, to the public. And I think it's well worth, you know, visiting, watching the operations, how it works. It, you know, it's not a simple process. It takes, you know, skilled people to make sure everything's running and operating the way it should be.
Exactly. We're coming up on 9:23. We're talking it over with Quincy Mayor Mike Trope here. And I'll tell you one thing about City Hall that you already notice is that the canopy being gone, it looks quite different.
Yes, it does. Yeah, we have a rendering inside the first floor of City Hall of what the finished exterior will look like. And there's still some work that needs to be done there, but with the heat, they weren't doing a lot of outside work, so hopefully that'll come back now that the weather's back to normal.
Well, at least for a few days.
Yes. So
at least
for,
knock on somewhat inexpensive broadcast countertop here for that. One thing that has happened over the past couple of weeks has been there's been a good amount of debate over whether or not the city should provide incentives to a developer from Omaha to develop the northeast corner of 54th and Broadway, and that's been put on hold now for another 3 weeks. You mentioned after the meeting that you were kind of crossing your fingers about whether the developer would still be interested. Do you have any update on that?
Yeah, well, we've talked to Jim Otis, who's the developer from Omaha, and he's absolutely still focused on getting that property purchased and developed. With his plan, he's coming in. The reason we've had to delay bringing that up to the council is he wants to meet with the alderman, but his schedule wouldn't allow him to be back until after the 4th of July week. And so we're now trying to line up the different meetings. We're limited how many aldermen we can meet at a time. So Jim's agreed to be back in Quincy for a couple days. And we will try to schedule those meetings with the city council. And they can each tell him what they like and what they don't like, ask, you know, whatever questions. Then we can go back and reevaluate what makes the most sense, where can we get the support from the aldermen, from the public, and still get, the project with new retailers coming to town.
Yeah, it's an issue where on basically both sides have valid points.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's just how do you solve that to where everybody is satisfied with that, the development can happen, because it's been the one spot in Quincy that everybody would assume that, it's going to be developed, but it hasn't been for years and years and years.
Right. It's been over 13 years where it's sat the way it is. There's been, Jim's about the third developer that I'm aware of in the last 4 years that has shown interest in that location, but he also understands what it's going to take to make that site really, you know, usable.
Right, exactly. One of the things, though, it's like, I guess some of the restaurateurs are, like everybody, having shortages of staff, and then under the rules of the development, these are going to be newer restaurants. They're not going to be ones that have been here in Quincy before, from what I understand.
Correct.
Okay, it's just a matter of...
They've modified that the C-Store may be related to one of the existing operators of C-Stores in Quincy, but the four restaurants would all be new to Quincy.
Okay, very, very good on that. Just wanted to bring up more about the fact that... not really sure about this. I mean... It seems like the city, in terms of most of its employers, most of its employees are in a pretty good place right now. I mean, we've had labor issues before, but it seems like for now, for the most part, everybody is doing okay, at least for the moment.
Yeah, I think I don't know that they're fully staffed, but they are managing to manage with the people they're able to have.
Yeah.
So I think there's been an adjustment from all the businesses. You know, we've had two new manufacturers come to town. That put pressure on the existing manufacturers and the jobs. And there were some, you know, people leaving one employer to go work for another. You know, healthcare has seen that for years with that, you know, cycle. And so, yeah, I think it's just another way of life that everybody's had to readjust expectations and what they need. I do know some of our larger businesses are investing more in technology. And the good thing is you've got organizations like Quincy University that started up, you know, some other, you know, degree programs that will help in the information technology and computer science area, which is what these employers are going to need when they take higher technical people to run different part of their operations.
Okay. Changing tack. A couple weeks ago at the Hannibal City Council meeting, one of the representatives for the union for the Hannibal firefighters basically expressed the thought that that there were going to be possibly a lot of retirements from the Quincy Fire Department over the next 4 to 6 years, and that a lot of Hannibal firefighters could leave and go to Quincy. Have you talked with Chief Valcamp much about that at all?
Yeah, I meet with the chief virtually weekly. He's talked about that actually a couple years ago. So once we got fully staffed again after the COVID, when he was hired, and there was, again, there seems to be about every 20-year cycle where a group of employees have retired, then we've got to fill those. Well, then in 20, 30 years, we've got another pool of people that are eligible for retirement, and they don't all retire the day they can. Some, it depends what else they have planned. But that's just part of the cycle. But we know, I know the chief and his staff monitor who's eligible for retirement, although some people have left well before the retirement age. So you can't predict, you know, every move, but they're watching that, and the same with our police force.
Right. Yeah, I know that's why they're in the process of hiring now, or at least starting the process of getting applications for that, as Chief Yates explained earlier this month here on the show. So, yeah, they just have that six-week period where they can stock up on the applications and then go from there.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
We're coming up on 9:30. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. That'll be on the way for you here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Thank you, Mike. We're at 9:33 now here on this sunny, beautiful Thursday morning. Alongside is Quincy Mayor Mike Trope. Before we'll talk about the Adams County Bicentennial here in just a moment. Wanted to ask you one thing, just thought of it. Yesterday, we had the head of the Quincy Children's Museum in, just talking about all the things that
Amy,
as a matter of fact. And it's like, I imagine on the one hand, it's like it can be a little frustrating because it's like being in a position of government, you want to do what you can, but at the same time, it's like there's a limit, isn't there?
Sure. No, the Children's Museum is doing wonderful things for our community. Yeah, I think that's also developed into a destination spot. So people not only in Quincy want to come and go to where the events are and what they're doing with the Children's Museum, but we're getting people to come into Quincy to visit and participate in that Children's Museum. So it's definitely a asset to the community, and they continue to work hard, their board and the staff, to continue to keep updated projects and events, not only in the space they have currently, but they have a mobile unit and will go to most outside programs all year round. So it's really great to have that in our community.
Yeah, and we also had the news yesterday that the Lollapalooza is coming back to the Oakley Lindsay Center early next month. So that's a big one, too.
Yes, it is. They keep adding that. They've got a they've actually had to ship in new tables, which are for the Japanese, Chinese type of billiards that are played, and they will actually have some of the world's top billiard player in that category here in Quincy. And I think that's the week after the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's the 8th through the 14th. So if you own a restaurant here in the city or in the county, listen up, you might be a little busy that week.
Well, and that's also a good program because that's a Monday through Saturday event. A lot of our activities, you know, tie up the weekends, but I know this is extra special when they come in on a Sunday and they have an event Monday through Friday, so that whole week can be exciting for the retailers in town.
Right, right, it is, and it's just another example of what you've been saying for a while, is that sure would be nice to have more hotels.
Yep.
Yeah, it sure would. Real quick before we go, the folks from the Bicentennial Commission yesterday announced that NAPHIDE was going to be their presenting sponsor. Basically, NAPHIDE presented them with a $100,000 check, which will really get that effort going.
Sure does.
Yeah.
It is. You know, NAPHIDE, again's been around a long time, and they continue their support for so many local projects and organizations throughout the community. We're lucky that we've got not only them as a large employer, but, you know, how they support our community on an annual basis. We're really grateful for what they're able to do. And Bicentennial is the latest project that they are getting behind. And I think that's going to be a great celebration this next summer.
Yeah, it's going to get people out to places that they may not have been to before. And hopefully it'll, you know, boost the economic boat as well. So,
yep, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I'm sure it will too. So, thank you as always for being here with us, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate
and enjoy the beautiful weather we've got.
Yeah, well, we've got it. So, that we will definitely do that here. Quincy Mayor Mike Trope, our guest here on the Mary Griffith Show. We're coming up now at 9:38. When we come back, Don O'Brien from the Quincy chapter of the Better Business Bureau. We will talk about a phishing investigation, not the one that you enjoy, but a different type. That's on the way on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD.
Be the opening act for me.
Well,
but then again, you know, he's a little bit more important than I am, so I can see why he goes first, because he's got a city to run and I don't.
Well, I mean, that's something to talk to Mary with. You could be like some of those 80 bands that tour together, where some they'll flip the bill.
They'll flip the bill.
One night. You know, like the Beach Boys in Chicago did it one year. One night, Chicago was the headliner. The next night, the Beach Boys were. So that's up to the three of you.
Okay.
You know, so I'll let you guys arm wrestle with that. And so I kind of favor you, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. All righty.
All right.
The Better Business Bureau has done a special investigation that you just have been talking. Well, you did it earlier this month and released it, but it's about fishing, but not the type you enjoy.
No. We're not going to. I was just out at the Illinois Veterans Home this morning for the Business Before Hours, the Alzheimer's Association one. They've got that. We're right next to the Illinois.
Lake Illinois?
Lake Illinois, yes.
Yeah.
And I think you can fish in there. It's catch and release. We're not talking about that type of fishing.
Yeah.
We're talking about the bad guys who want to get you, and they're going to send you emails or text messages, or they may even use the old school mail. They may try to get you through social media. And we've just seen, you know, the reason Better Business Bureau did this in-depth study is because we had in 2023 just a huge increase in those reports. We saw a lot of that early in the pandemic, but again, it just spiked last year. So people are losing a lot of money. We just wanted to kind of sound the alarm and say, hey, be careful about these. With these things, you know, there are the scammers, the bad guys and the bad girls want you to act in the heat of the moment. They want you to act before you think about it. And we at Better Business Bureau want you to, whenever you get something that sounds too good to be true, or they want you to act in the heat of the moment, we want you to stop, think, and then act. And these can be any number of things. This can be anything from, you know, let's say that, you know, the heat's going to come back at some point. And the cold season, you know, we hear sometimes in the winter that, oh, Ameren says I need to pay my bill now through gift cards, or else they're going to turn off my electricity. well, we don't want to have our electricity turned off when it's negative 12 or 97 degrees. So we might fall into that trap. You might get something that's supposedly from your bank or wherever your financial institution is and say, oh, there's been fraud on your account and you need to call us now for this. Again, we just want you to make sure that when you get those types of things, you stop, analyze the situation. You don't just call whatever numbers associated with that text message or however they've contacted you, because what that's going to do is take you right to them. If it's from your bank, find a legitimate number for your bank. If it's from Ameren, find a legitimate number from Ameren. Any number of ways. And unfortunately, we just had an instance here in Quincy where we had a guy lose about $7,000 in one of these phishing scams.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it was caught by the store employees where he was going.
That's correct. So this gentleman out from Golden was using social media. He made a remark on a social media post on YouTube that he liked the channel. He was just being nice, as we sometimes are. Not all of us are nice online, but he was being nice online. And what happened then is that he got a reply from who he thought was the band or this YouTuber. And they're like, hey, we appreciate you being a fan. We'd love to talk to you offline. Can you download this app called Telegram? So that's one thing that we see a lot in scams is when you're talking to someone on one platform, whether it's Facebook Messenger or if you're into, I know we hear sometimes in romance scams, you're on a dating app and they take you off the dating app to somewhere over here where not that they monitor it on the app that you're on, but you're at least in a place that you both know each other, and then they take you off to somewhere else. So they took him to Telegram. They told him that he was such a great fan that they're going to give him a MacBook Pro, and all he had to do was pay the shipping from the United Kingdom, which was $131. So he went and he got an Apple gift card for that amount, gave him the gift card, and then gave him the information. He'd take a photo of it and send it to him. If you ever ask to pay for anything in a gift card, Scott, I like you. I'd get you a gift card because I know you. Mm-hmm. You deserve a gift card, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that.
But, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't, I'm certainly not going to pay for a service or a good with a gift card for someone that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that was the first hook they got. That was the phishing. They lured him in. They set traps. And unfortunately, he fell into it. Then all of a sudden, they had all kinds of different things that popped up. He had to, there's something wrong with they had to pay a courier. They just make things up, and they eventually extracted about $7,000 out of him. He finally went at one of the stores he was going to around here. He went back to this for the second or third day, and the employee who had previously waited on him said, sir, are you sure you're not being scammed? And he goes, well, I never thought about that. And then he went to the Adams County Sheriff's Department. They say, yeah, this is not correct. And so they came to our office and wanted to let us know about it. And we put that in our BBB Scam Tracker. And Scam Tracker is a great tool for people to use. You can go online. You can see what's being reported. You can, even if you don't lose money in a scam, if you've been targeted in a scam, we want to make sure that you get that information out. So, and it's free to use. So, he wanted to make sure that he goes, what can I do to help people? I said, well, I could talk to, obviously I'm going to share your story. I'm not going to give his name out, but I'm going to share your story to let people know that even here in little old Quincy in the tri-states, these things can happen. We're not immune to it just because we're 2 hours from nowhere. So he shared a story. He's done some local media on it. So that's good. If you fall victim, I know as embarrassing as it might be, you need to tell someone because we can't help you and you can't help others unless you let people know what happened to you.
Yeah. Another thing that I noticed as soon as you were telling the story is that not only did they want him to switch the way he was communicating, it was to which platform they added mm-hmm. to, which is Telegram, which if you've not heard of this, it is a popular platform in Russia.
I didn't realize that word originated.
Telegram is very popular in Russia, and as you know, probably as soon as I mention the word Russia, it's like almost the bane of your existence, because a lot of scammers do come from Russia.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. So one of the most popular questions I get when I go out and do speeches for BBB is like, why can't the police get these people? How come these scammers can just operate? Because a lot of times they are overseas. They are in, our gentleman from Golden believes that this originated out of India. Pakistan is another place. You know, we've got, you know, they've got Nigeria is another big place. You know, there are scam operations in all these places. So, you know, it would take our federal government to work with their federal government. You know, it's not like this guy from Golden was getting ripped off by someone from Payson. Or, you know, St. Louis even. You know, these operators operate from way, you know, our law enforcement doesn't have the capability to reach out and grab them.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminded me of an example. It's somewhat related. A couple of years ago when people were in that mode of phoning in false threats mm-hmm. to all sorts of things around the country, happened down at Ralls County High School in Center. Okay. They had a threat. Well, the person doing that was in California. Mm-hmm. So luckily there was some recourse, but it took them a very long time to nail it down and to get the evidence in order to catch the person.
Yeah.
He's now serving a prison sentence. But yeah, the report that you have here that you have published, it's really getting sophisticated in terms of like what they, I mean, they don't leave anything unturned in terms of the types of media that are using, whether it's email, calls, texting, malicious links. They'll use it all.
They'll use it all, and they're very, you know, we always kind of laugh. You know, you may have had a joke with your friends about the Nigerian prince email. You know, I am a Nigerian prince, and I've come into fortune. I need to share it with someone.
Right.
That one. You know, we kind of laugh at that, but they wouldn't send it out if it didn't work. And all these scams we talk about, they're tailored, and they have scripts from just like this guy fell in. Okay, if you see somebody on social media, let's try to get to social media, and then you're going to go to this and this. And, you know, and again, it's a, you know, point one to point 1,000. You know, so some of these scams can be very sophisticated. You know, we've heard of people in romance scams. We had a woman in St. Louis in about 2018. We did a romance scam study, and she came forward after losing $2 million over like a 3 or 4 year period from somebody who she believed to be was, you know, somebody she cared about and was in love with her. So, you know, they're very good at what they do. So we want you to make sure that you're kind of on the defense. And it's terrible. I was talking to Quaid while you were talking to the mayor, and he goes, you know, unfortunately, I'm just skeptical. And whenever I get something out of the blue, he goes, maybe that's not the way I should be. I said, you know, I wish more people were that way. It's terrible that we have to think that whatever you get is not legitimate, but if you start with that frame mind of, okay, let me look into this before I accept it, you're going to be much better off.
Yeah, you are. We're at 9:50 with Don O'Brien from the Better Business Bureau, and when we come back, we'll talk about how the phishing investigation and the phishing attacks are probably only going to increase. We'll talk about that and a lot more here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show on this sunny Thursday, June 27th, last Thursday of the month, and we're talking it over with Don O'Brien from the Better Business Bureau, and we've been talking about the BBB's phishing investigation, and it can seem kind of scary, and you should be alert to this, because we've been talking about the BBB scam tracker have gotten reports of over 9,000 reports last year, and it's probably going to be worse this year.
Well, yeah, we think so. And then, of course, you know, there's the growing elephant in the room and of AI, and how is AI going to help the scammers and hurt consumers and help hurt the common Joe? And we don't know yet. We don't know how they're going to utilize that technology. You know, you've got, I know you and Quaid talked about Al Michaels and the Al Michaels AI for the Olympics,
yeah,
earlier.
That's crazy.
And, you know, it does sound, I listened to it, it sounds exactly like Al Michaels. So we think that what's eventually going to happen is that they might use that technology to, you know, maybe take the voice of a loved one and have that person, quote unquote, call you. And, you know, you might say, it might sound like your daughter or your son or your grandson or whoever that might be. So how do you combat that? Maybe you have a safe word. Like if you get a frantic call from somebody who's in duress, you know, I need you to go wire me this money, or I need you to send me gift cards, or I need you to go to crypto ATM and send me this money right away because I'm going to see the judge tomorrow and it's my only chance to do it. Hey, what's our safe word? even that safe word is like potatoes or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. Then that way you would know, you know, you have to ask them something specific to them so you know what. And now they might come back, well, you know, I'm too busy. I don't know what the safe word is right now because I'm too flustered. Well, that's okay. Call me back when you're not flustered and tell me what the safe word is.
Right, exactly. And there's already a scam like that where it's like third hand where people, you know, get a message saying, I was talking to so-and-so and they said that, you know, there's already that scam. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it can be
pretty sophisticated. Again, they're going to work to see what they can do to try to take advantage of us. And there's technology they can use. They can make it seem like if they know your loved one's name and they can get their phone number, you know, they can act like it's coming right from them.
Yeah, that may be something that hopefully lawmakers can investigate and hopefully do something about that would be effective. Because yeah, it's the Wild West right now with this technology.
Correct.
It could be in every part of our lives, really.
Yep.
It really can. So, also, we wanted to talk about the fact that one thing we wanted to go over, I wanted to mention real quickly, is just a rule of thumb that you always talk about, is that if it's if somebody's claiming they're an official government agency, they're not going to call you, they're not going to text you.
No, they're not going to call, they're not going to text. I mean, especially when you get these calls or texts from something called the IRS or the Social Security Administration, those are popular ones, especially targeting older Americans. And, you know, you try to call them and try to get some on the line. They're not just going to call you. So you're going to get things that's going to be through the snail mail for the both of those. So, I do get calls from folks a lot and want to know, hey, I got this piece of mail. Is this legitimate or not? I'd be happy to help you out with that. My phone is 217-209-3972. Because even if, you know, if you can read the mailer to me or if you can send a photo of it to me, you know, more often than not, it's going to be a scam. But there are some times we've had some instances lately that I've gotten some calls from some folks here in Quincy who've gotten something about PPP loans that were taken out of their names. And what happened in those cases was that these people's identities were used to take out these PPP loans. So now they have to go through all kinds of red tape. So sometimes there are legitimate things, and you have to address those.
Yeah, yeah. And if something like that were to happen, I imagine one of the things you tell them would be to save that for any possible criminal prosecution.
Yep.
And that can happen with some of these folks as well locally who can get caught. You recently issued an alert about someone who had been in the process of scamming folks not delivering on work that they were supposed to do.
Yeah, so what happens is what every now and then we'll do what we call consumer warnings. If a business falls to an F rating and we think it's in the public's best interest to kind of give a warning about that business, we will. And it's rare for it to happen around here in Quincy. I've been a Better Business Bureau for 7 years. I think this is the fourth or fifth consumer warning we've issued about the Quincy region and the Quincy area here. So, you know, what happens there is we get calls from consumers. You know, we let that process play out. If you were to file a complaint with BBB, that business has 7 days to respond to the complaint. After the first 7 days and they don't respond, we remind them, we say, hey, Scott's got this complaint, please address it. After that second time, if the business still is not responsive to it, we actually call the business and say, hey, Scott has this complaint, please address it. And if you're a business owner, the best way to go into an F rating, our rating system is A+ is good, F is bad, just like when you were in school. And if you want your BBB rating to tank and to get people's attention, is by not answering your complaints. If you answer your complaints, your grade and resolve them is going to stay pretty good. Yeah. But it's when you ignore your customers. So, you know, we've had, and it takes X, you know, not one complaint's not going to take you to an F. It's when you get we see a pattern of complaints. We see a pattern of people reporting to us that things like you mentioned, that the work was substandard or that we paid for work and it was not done and they wouldn't issue refunds, things of that nature. So, but you need to report. Reporting is big. It's you know, if you want to file a complaint, whether it's BBB scam tracker, you need to report it because we can't help. Law enforcement, a lot of these things are going to say, especially when you're dealing with business, that's a civil matter. You need to report it to the Better Business Bureau. And our, you know, to file that complaint costs you nothing. It costs you your time. That's it. So you can do that online, or we do have a call center in St. Louis you can use as well.
Don, always a pleasure, man. And if folks want to get in touch with you, lots of ways they can do it, right?
Yeah. You can go bbb.org. Or you can, again, call me at my office here in Quincy at 217-209-3972.
Very, very good. And folks in law enforcement do listen when these alerts are issued and these F-grades are handed out. They do listen, and a lot of times prosecutions do happen because of it. So, yeah, report, like he just said. Folks, thank you so much. We'll be back with you again tomorrow for the Mary Griffith Show. Stay tuned. The Ramsey Show is next. It's 10 o'clock.